The Valiant and Vulnerable Prophet Elijah, Episode 6. The Contest. Darkness versus Light. Number 1, Falsehood. Number 2, Faith. Number 3, Folly. Number 4, Fire. This is Claude Frederick Armand Schaeffer. He was at one time a leading archaeologist in this world, curator of the University of Archaeology in Strasbourg, curator of the National Archaeology in Paris in France. A peasant had uncovered a stone which later on this man, leading a group of archaeologists, was to discover that it was the ancient city of Ugarit and the palace there in Ugarit. And then he found out that from that palace, stones were discovered, lots of them. You can find some of them in the British Museum, including this stone. And it tells us in this tablet of the Ugarit that a temple for Baal had been built in that city. They also discovered the image of the idols of Baal. I remind you, we're studying history. This is not myth. Tonight we're going to Mount Carmel. It was known as the Mountain of Baal. It is where, in this place of fertility and prosperity, that the Baal worshippers would go and perform their rituals. Here we are, 1,724 feet above sea level, in the mount called Carmel. If you go there today, it's become a sacred place. There's a statue of Elijah on the top of it. But in the time in which we're reading, it was the place where the Baals were worshipped. You remember what has happened. Last week, we left Obadiah before the king with a message from Elijah. Tell the king, it's time we met. Remember how the king had been summoned, and now we see the meeting taking place. And this passage here begins with falsehood. Verse 17, when Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, is it you? You troubler of Israel. You troubler of Israel. Elijah has summoned Ahab. It's as if Ahab has rushed out, seen this man, and insults him. You troublemaker, you the one who brings disaster. In fact, some people have interpreted these words as you serpent, you snake, you who has brought the curse upon the land. Remember that for 3 years and 6 months there has been drought and famine. People are dying. All Ahab had been interested in was his horses, you remember. Now, face to face, he comes out with this plain falsehood. You're the troublemaker here. He wasn't the troublemaker. It was Ahab who was the troublemaker. Listen to how Elijah answers. I have not troubled Israel, verse 18. But you have, and your father's house, because you've abandoned the commandments of the Lord and followed the Baals. I am not the troublemaker. That is a lie. You are. It's because of your idolatry. It's because of your apostasy. It's because of your sorcery. It's because of your pornography. It's because of your brutality. It's because of your pursuit of prosperity that the judgment of God has come upon the land. I'm not the troublemaker, you are. I'm not the snake, you are. Falsehood. Secondly, this is about faith. Verses 19 to 21 tell us the story. Now, therefore, send and gather all Israel to me at Mount Carmel, and the 450 prophets of Baal, and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. What a summons. Ahab, I'm telling you, in the name of the living God before whom I stand, go and gather all of Israel, all the people, and all the religious professionals, the 450 prophets of Baal, the 400 prophets of the Asherah, 850 religious prophets. Dress them up in their vestments, in all their gaudy colors, and tell them to come. Tell them to come to Mount Carmel. Look what happens. So Ahab sent to all the people of Israel and gathered the prophets together at Mount Carmel. It's almost as if Ahab says, yes, sir. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, how long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. Here is a man of faith, without a shadow of a doubt. You know that the book of Proverbs tells us in chapter 28, verse 1, that the wicked flee when no one pursues them. When a man's conscience, a woman's conscience is on fire, they're looking round all over the place, they're fleeing with no one pursuing them. But it then goes on to say, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. The man or woman who has faith in the living God, who's walking uprightly, doing righteousness, speaking the truth in his heart, not biting with his tongue or doing evil to his neighbor, nor taking up a reproach against his neighbor. The righteous are as bold as a lion. You gather the people to me. You gather the religious professionals to me. And then he says to this great congregation of men and women gathered from Israel, I mean, I don't know, we have to read between the lines. I wonder whether the Samaritan post office were on extra time and not getting round to all the people to get them there. If they had an equivalent of the Samaritan Herald, it would be contest. Come at once, gather at Carmel. And then he says this amazing statement of faith. Because you see, Elijah, he sees the invisible. He hears the inaudible. He believes for the incredible. And he will receive the impossible. If ever there was a man who takes a shield of faith, it is this man. And he makes this statement, if the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. Stop limping around. Stop having one foot in one camp, another foot in another camp. Stop sitting on the fence. It is make up your mind time. And what is more, look at his faith. He thinks he's the only one, verse 22. I, even I, only am left. a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Of course, we know later on that that was wrong. But picture the scene here. The people did not answer a word when he put down that challenge. No one stood up and said, yes, you're ringing my amen corner here. No one stood up and said, yes, I'm with you. And here is Elijah feeling all alone. But he makes this great statement of faith, and then he puts down this challenge, let two bulls be given to us, and let them choose one bull for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood, but put no fire to it. And I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood and put no fire to it. And you call upon the name of your God, and I will call upon the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God. Now the people spoke up. It is well spoken. So look what happens next. Then Elijah, verse 25, said to the prophets of Baal, choose for yourselves one bull and prepare it first, for you are many, and call upon the name of your God, but put no fire to it. And they took the bull that was given them, and they prepared it and called upon the name of Baal from morning until night. See what's happening here? All the odds are stacked in favor of Baal. It's in the mountain of Baal, with the prophets of Baal. Now they get first choice. Not only so, it's morning leading to midday at the very zenith of heat. And he is the god Baal of fire, and he is the god of the sun. Surely this is a chance now. They've got the chance, the best chance of all. But this man of faith stands before them, uttering this challenge to the people of Israel. If the Lord is God, you follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. And here is the contest. Darkness versus light. Truth versus error. Heaven versus hell. And it's time to make up your mind. For the just shall live by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And then thirdly, we have the folly. And what folly this is. Here's the two bulls. Let them choose. Let them cut it up. Let them go first. Let them put the wood on it. And then cry out to God. And look what happens. Verse 26. And they took the bull that was given them, and they prepared it and called upon the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, oh, Baal, answer us. But there was no voice, and no one answered. And they limped around the altar that they had made. And at noon, Elijah mocked them, saying, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he's musing, or he's relieving himself, or he's on a journey, or perhaps he's asleep and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after the custom with swords and lances until blood gushed out upon them. And as midday passed, they raved on until the time of the offering of the oblation. But there was no voice, no one answered, no one paid attention. Friend, you know, this is the stuff of Hollywood. Talk about drama. Can you picture them? Oh, Baal, answer us. Hey, you better cry louder, says Elijah. Shout a bit louder. They're already shouting. Perhaps he's just musing. Perhaps he's meditating. Perhaps he's got something on his mind, this Baal of yours. Shout a bit louder to him. Perhaps he's a bit distracted. Oh no, maybe he's gone on the toilet. Maybe he's in the loo and he can't hear you. Shout a bit louder. Maybe he's gone on a journey. Maybe this Baal has just taken some leave and gone on holiday somewhere. No, no, it must be. Baal must be sleeping. Can't you hear him snoring? Verse 28, they're crying even louder. Now they're self-harming. And this goes on from morning till midday. The God of fire, the God of sun, surely he can set this alight in the burning Middle Eastern sun on the top of the mountain of Baal. But no one answered. They walk around, they leap around, they scream, they shout, they alter their voice. They self-harm. There's a frenzy. But no voice. No answer. Folly. They could have cried for the next week, month, year, decade, century. Oh, Baal, answer us. And there would have been no voice. What foolishness. Number four, we have fire. Verses 30 to 40. Because now look what happens. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. And all the people came near to him. Can you picture that scene? They've had enough of Baal. I mean, it's not only gone on till midday. The shouting and screaming and cutting and crying has now gone on almost to the evening oblation. It's cooler now. It's colder now and darker now. It's the evening time coming upon. Come near. They come near. They're all on tiptoes. Look what happens. First is the altar. How significant is this? Verse 31, Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob to whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be your name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. Can you picture this scene? How dramatic this would have been. On the mountain of Baal, stones. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Manasseh, and Benjamin. Can you imagine what had happened? Remember that because of judgment, the nation of Israel had been split into two. 10 tribes had gone to the north, the capital city of which was Samaria. 2 tribes had gone to the south. They called it Judah, the capital city of which was Jerusalem. Now he's uniting Israel together. You are the Lord God of Israel. You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're the God who revealed yourself in creation. You're the God who revealed yourself to Abraham. You're the God of covenant, in covenant with your people. And he builds the altar. Then he digs a trench because there's going to be a gutter of water all around. Then he takes the wood. Then he cuts up the bull. And then look what happens. This is amazing. Look, and he put the wood in order, verse 33, and cut the bull in pieces and laid it on the wood. And he said, fill 4 jars with water and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. And the water ran around the altar and filled the trench also with water. I want to remind you, it's a drought. Where did the water come from? They're on the top of Mount Carmel. The slope leads down, where to? The Mediterranean. Somehow, some way, go and get these barrels. Fill them with water. 4 of them. Not once, not twice, but 3 times. Absolutely soak this offering. Absolutely drench the offering. It's cooler now. This was going to be no trick. The God who himself is a consuming fire must do what no false god, no false idol could ever do. And the water ran around the altar and filled the trench also with water. Can you picture the scene? Everything's dripping, soaking, wet. And it's interesting. The bull sacrifice, you remember, was the sacrifice of atonement for sin. Remember? It was a sin offering. Remember that the salt from the Mediterranean would purify. This was going to be a sweet-smelling savor, arising as an aroma to the living God, the God of the whole earth, who does what is right. The only true and living God, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, the God who does wonders. And then it's the prayer. Look at this, verse 36. And at the time of the offering of the oblation, Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back. That prayer could be prayed in less than 50 seconds. They've been at it all day. There's no frenzy. There's no altering voice. There's no dancing or leaping. There's no crying or screaming. There's just sincerity and urgency and authority and humility and a jealous concern for the glory of God. Oh, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, my God, living God, come and vindicate your own glorious name. Come and show yourself to be the living God, and that I am your prophet. And after that prayer, brief, sincere, urgent, authoritative, humble, full of faith, we read. Verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. And Elijah said to them, Seize the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape. And they seized them. And Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slaughtered them there. You see what happens? The fire fell. The altar fell. The people fell. The Baal fell. And the judgment came upon them. He is indeed the God who answers by fire. He is indeed the living God, the only God. It was no contest. Take these lessons home with you. Remember that the devil is the father of lies. Ahab was telling lies again. He lived a lie. His whole life was a lie. John has told us that. Remember in the series we had in John? The devil is the father of lies. He was a liar from the beginning. Remember, secondly, that there comes a time in every person who says they believe in the living God must make up their mind. You must make up your mind. Jesus is either worth nothing or he's worth everything. Jesus Christ is God and died for me, then no sacrifice that I can make can be too great for him. We can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. We can't be living lives of duplicity and hypocrisy. It's make up your mind time. If the living God is the living God, worthy of our worship, worthy of our praise, worthy of our service, then serve him, follow him, live for him, unashamedly nail your colors to the mast. Get down off the fence. Number three, remember that the Baals of this world are powerless. I came across this poem. Indeed, the idols I have loved so long have done my credit in this world much wrong, have drowned my glory in a shallow cup, sold my reputation for a song. The Baals of our day, like the Baals of their day, the idols of their day and the idols of our day, are powerless and worthless. Remember that Baal was the god of power and sex and money, not much different than today, and violence, prosperity. But do you remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul? When you're standing before the one who is omniscient, when our lives come before him and before us, what will our worship of the idols of our day do for us in that great day of judgment? What? I never forget, even though as a young boy, my mother would recite a poem called Well. It was about a soldier who dreamed he was stood before the living God, and his whole life passed before him. All eyes were in his eyes, he said. My wife's and a million more, and once I thought that those two eyes were the eyes of a London whore. At the end of this, God says to the man, Well, all I could say was, please, can I go to hell? What will the idols of our life stand for on that great day of judgment? They are powerless in this life and useless for the next. Number four, remember the Lord, the infinite, eternal, unchangeable, the God of omnipotence and omniscience and omnipresence, the creator, the sustainer, the ruler of the universe. He is God. We don't need to prove God. He speaks every day. The heavens declare his glory. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech. Night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out into all the earth. Their words to the end of the world. We are inexcusable. God has revealed himself in creation. He's revealed himself in our conscience so that we know right from wrong. He's revealed himself in the scriptures, and he's revealed himself supremely in the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord, he is God. But there's one difference for you and me and this story. Elijah takes the prophets of Baal, pronounces judgment upon them, and they are killed. In the New Covenant, an astounding, wonderful, glorious occasion happened on the darkest day in mankind's history, when God, manifest in the flesh, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, became the at-one-ment, the atonement, cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And there in the darkness and ugliness of Calvary, as he bore all our sins in his body to the tree, the fire of God fell upon him. The wrath of God fell upon him. He was abandoned that I might never be. He was forsaken that I might never be. He cried from the depth of hell so that I may never go there. The fire of God's judgment has fallen upon our Lord Jesus Christ. So look at me, please. How much more, having been loved with such a love, in the presence of such a one who bare all our sins and all the penalty for our sins in his own body and take the judgment we deserve, how much more should we praise the name of the Lord our God and bless his name forevermore? Let's stand and sing.